Okay. So let's just quickly review some of the things that came up yesterday. We're on Memhem and Beis. From the case of Yotze Echad Lashuk Mezamnolo. So the Gemara said, Shlosh Shalchu Ka'achas, you have a situation in which three people ate together. The Yotze Echad Mehem Lashuk, and one of them goes out to the Shuk, Koronlo Mezamnolo. So one guy goes to the Shuk, now he... The Gemara doesn't mention this, but in some cases, you're not allowed to leave. So he obviously didn't leave with the intent of leaving indefinitely. Maybe it was his intent to come back in when they were ready to bench. But he steps out. And now, because he steps out, we have this question, what can we do with him? So the Gemara says, oh, you could call him and be mezamin with him. Call out to him and include him in the zimun. So Bai says, okay, but that's only if karilei va'on qualifies this. Can't just make a zimun with a guy who's outside. It has to be in such a situation that what? Karilei va'ani. And we'll see in a moment that that term is something of a debated point among the Rishonim. Then comes along Marzutra and says, this whole rule, whatever it means, karilei va'ani, whatever it means that you call out to him and he answers, it only applies to a case of a zimun of three. But if you're talking about 10, no, it has to be adonaisi. It has to be somehow present. So Rashi, as we saw yesterday, Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh all take for granted that you're calling out to him and he's answering. He's participating in the zimun. Let's take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi v'hu dekarule v'ani. You see it? You see it's about three or four lines up from the Masoros HaShas where he quotes Sukkah.
Remember?
Memhem and Beis. V'hud the Karile.
So, that was...
I hope you feel right.
So, tomorrow will be...
Okay, so I was going to say, if you're here, that's great, but when you... well, let's continue. So, Rashi says, you're about to read for us, Rashi? V'hud the Karile v'ani.
So he puts on it, places. No,
you're right. That elsewhere, that's what it would mean. Well, to be summit means to rely on, to lean on, to rest on, or to be near. Here it means to be near. Shesamachu atzlam. He's close to them.
Right. But Ona answers Baruch Hu. Baruch. When he says, right.
He responds. So according to Rashi, clear that you're calling out to him, and not only is he listening, but he's responding. Very good. All right, now with that in mind, look at the Rashi Korinlo. Korinlo, it's up above. About four, you got it? Okay.
So do you Shehem Utsim Lizman?
Lizamin.
That he should acknowledge.
They call out to him to let him know
that
they want a bench.
They want
right?
to bench.
They want to make the
zimun.
V'yifna elehem, and he'll turn to them.
Turn to them, but
you know, either figuratively or literally, he's basically directing his attention towards them.
V'dilehem b'kach.
V'dilehem. And that's enough. That's enough for this whole zimun to get off the ground. Okay. That's Rashi. Now we saw that approach is taken by the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah as well, that of course he has to respond. He can't just listen, but he also has to answer the Zima. Right?
Right.
Okay, good. The Meiri, however, let's take a quick look at the Meiri. I see there are a couple of Meiris out on the table. You can take that one. Maybe Isaac and Dr. J, you could share that one. Let me just show you where it is so you guys. That's the Ra'ah. Oh, no. This is something different. Yeah. This is.
See, they don't even have, like.
It's not bolded.
Memhei or.
Oh, no, it does say that.
Well, it doesn't. Where does it say that?
Which column?
If you get back to me, I'll show you where I was pointing. Something. It does at the beginning of the daf where it first starts talking about the daf. See here, Mehem and Aleph. See in the margin.
You should see it up there.
you know what? When you when you do your edition of the Meiri, that will be a nice feature. You have the running pagination. Yes. Nice and loud. Good. So now you have
case.
One guy left the party before they benched. You see it, Alf? You see that paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay.
Korin lo umzan alav. Ubevad she ya'ana lezimon mimikomo liyamar baruchu shahan.
Good. So Meiri is citing an opinion that says that yes, he could be part of the Zimon. They can make a Zimon like this, provided that what? Provided that he responds. All right, we know who says that. Rashi,
the
Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah. Good.
But not the.
Not the Meiri.
Not the Meiri.
I'll keep going.
Right.
Right. I mean, they are certainly, I would say, in line with the simple pshat of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Yeah, you can make a Zimun with this fellow, but what happens? The Gemara qualifies and says, oh, that's only if you call him the Karile Vani. Simple pshat sounds like you call him and he answers. Right? So that's what Meiri's saying. Meiri's saying, okay, they understood it to mean, literally, that you call out to him and he responds.
Okay.
That's Abaye. Abaye says, "Who the karule v'ani?" All right, good. So keep going. Good. That's Rashi.
Yes.
Saying when he quotes, what?
Peir, yeah.
And look at the note.
Rashi. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going. So he's also Yotze with them. He's Yotze with them. Meaning maybe you'll think that only they're Yotze. As they can have a Zimun, they'll call out to him, he answers, but since he's not there, you'll say, oh, he's not really Yotze, they're Yotze, they're Chil of Zimun. No. According to Rashi, if he responds, everyone, that's the Zimun. He participated in the Zimun. And Rashi says as much. Rashi says that when they do it in this way, what happens? The second Rashi that we read, it's the first Rashi, if you're going in order. Remember that Rashi? That's sufficient. For the Zeman's sake, that's sufficient. All right? Keep going.
Okay.
Now, technically, you have to bench what you ate. That's a general rule. Nothing to do with this particular case, but there's a general rule that you have to bench what you ate. Koach. Okay, so what does that mean? He's using some kind of funny language over here, but I think this is similar to what Avi was saying yesterday. What does the Meiri mean when he says that the kocho, somehow his koach of the Zimun brings him after the Mavarech? May I see for a second? Start to, right, isn't that a blushon? Yeah. Chovas haZimun mevia kocho lekan.
How does it kocho?
It's blurred. It's rubbed out a little bit.
No, I'm saying ko. Where do you? Oh, because it has the. Really?
Cholim.
What is it called?
Cholim.
Okay. Because like
right?
I would think it would be kocho.
This I think is called them. Actually, no, I'm not sure. Now you want to do anything other than doing this?
No, I.
Okay, so the Meiri continues. It says somehow the koach is nimshach after the mevorah. You don't have to be there. Kulam nimshach v'mekomo achar mevorah. That's the way this mechanism of zimun works. The mechanism of zimun works that as long as that guy is included in the zimun, they're all one group. If they're all one group, he's really in the makom of the achila. But as a general rule, you have to bench where you ate. Now there are variations on what you can consider the place where you ate. Right? Can you still see where you ate? Did you eat in two places? Is it all under one roof? Right? All those rules that you have. For example, when you go to a simcha and you started eating in one place and then you went to another place, is that called shini makom?
Cholam chaser.
Let's check it out. V'yishom she'enu yotze ele min hazimun. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
Some say, you keep reading, please. Some say, in this case, other commentaries say that when the guy answers from the street, when the guy answers from the shuk, what did you accomplish? Only what? Yesh omrim.
Yesh omrim.
Yeah. No, no, right before that. Right before that. Some say that all right, some say all you accomplished is the Zimun. Well, what does that mean? Let's take up that issue. We didn't mention that yesterday. Let's take up that for a minute. Some say in this case that you're Yotze Zimun, but you have to go back and bench. Meaning the guy's got to come in from outside and you have to bench inside. Zimun is Yotze, but he has to come, right? He has to come back and bench. Is that what he says? It's not a trick.
Yeah,
what
okay.
Did you read? Yesh Omrim.
Ella min hazimun.
Right. We only Yotze the obligation of the Zimun.
Right.
Aval. Yeah, what?
Sarichu.
That guy's got to come back inside.
Makom
Shach.
He's not Yotze Zimun. Zimun.
He's Yotze Zimun.
But he still has to come back in.
To bench.
So Zimun and bench are two different things?
So that Shita would have to maintain that Zimun is somehow separate, very good, somehow separate from benching. The other Shitas that say it's okay are apparently understanding that it's one. If it works for one, it works for the other. That's the way the Meiri originally described it when he was talking, I guess, about Rashi and the others. He said, no, then the Zimun is good, Lekulam. Zimun is good, Lekulam. Meaning, whatever you require, no distinction between benching and.
Is he the one that originally said that you don't have to come back, you could be like in another room? Or is that.
Well, like, Rashi said that. Rashi said you don't have to come back, but you have to answer.
And he said that you have to come back?
No, he's going to say in a minute that you don't even have to answer. We didn't get to that yet.
Because technically, you could be on the other side of the shuk and part of the Zimun.
As long as you could hear.
Right.
And you have to hear them, as long as you could
hear.
You
can't bench there. You have to come back and bench in your place that you ate.
Well, that's, again, we don't know what the Meiri says about that yet, but the sheetness that he's mentioning now is saying, first, as long as you're including the Zimun, you're including the benching. That's the first sheet, right? As long as you're including the Zimun, you're including the benching. How could you be including the Zimun? Because they could hear each, because they could hear each other. Right? The Karlevani. You called out to him, and he hears you, he answers, oh, so you see that you're a group. That shows that you're a group. By virtue of the fact that you can interact with one another, right? You could talk to him, he answers you, you're a group. Oh, so if you're a group, then you could bench together. You have an obligation to bench together, you could bench together. Oh, you could bench together, you could do Zimun together. So you did the whole thing. The obvious point is important, that according to the second possibility, that if you only Yotze Zimun, but you have to come into bench, that means they're separable. And there is a question out there. There is a question how you view the relationship between Zimun and benching. Is Zimun fused to benching, so that when you're benching B'Zimun, it's a new type of benching, it's benching qualified with Zimun, or is it not? Benching plus Zimun. So if you hold that it's benching plus Zimun, then you could say, well, there's one rule for Zimun, there's one rule for benching. If you understand that it's all one thing, and it works, then it works for everything. Or if it doesn't work, it's not going to work at all. Right? Very good. Now let's continue. Does everyone appreciate that point? Isaac, you understand what I'm saying? Isaac?
No.
No. There are two shitas that the Meiri is referring to now. One is the shita that says that when you call out, calm down, when you call out, it's good for everything. Right? He answers, and that's it. Benching, Yotze, Zimun, Yotze, nothing else to do. This other position says, well, while you, it's good for Zimun, it's good for Zimun, he must come back into bench. So why would you say that? Why does he have to come into bench? So obviously saying, well, maybe this opinion views Zimun and benching as being two separate things. So while the rule is good enough for Zimun, he doesn't want to come in right now. But he has a chiyah for Zimun. Okay, so he'll be yotzi zimun like this. That's sufficient for zimun. He's nimshach achar amavarech. But in terms of benching, he has to bench the makom shacha. He has to bench in the makom suda. Oh, so for that he's got to come back in. Well, what do you mean? You just told me you could answer and be fine. Yeah, fine for zimun, but not fine for benching. The other sheet just said no. It's good for everything. Right? Now the third sheet. What's the third sheet, though? You have to read it. Not, yeah. Not saying it into it.
The Ein Nira Li came. Ella Shahazimun Mitzarif Koach Kulam Eitzel Amarev.
Miri says no, it's everything. He thinks that benching and Zimun go together. If you're following the Mizamin for the Zimun, then you follow Zimun also for the, you follow the Mizamin for benching as well. Okay? Right. Now this is the third sheet. Third sheet is that even for Zimun, you can't do it out here. You can't answer the Zimun outside. They're all held that, remember? They're all said, no, you always have to come back. You always have to come back inside. The only question is, how far did you go? At some point we say, no, you went too far, don't even bother coming back. Does everyone remember that? We did this yesterday. They're all said, Rashi said, you don't, you can answer, b'makom, what's his lashon there? B'makom ma'amado. He answers where he is. As long as he can hear, he can answer where he is, and that's it. Shalom Yisrael. They all said, no, he's got to come back inside. But the only difference is between the Karlev Ani and one, I guess, that's not Karlev Ani, is how far did you go? If you went so far that you're out of earshot, even if you came back in on your own, you're gone. The demon fell apart. But if you were within that area, if you're within the area of Karlev Ani, if you're within earshot, you never traveled beyond that point, whatever point that is, geographically, as long as you didn't go beyond that, you're still in the makom of the achila, and therefore you're really mitzuruf to the zimun. And kol zman that you mitzuruf to the zimun, you can come back in. But once you went too far, don't bother coming back. That was the Ra's opinion. And that's what the Mir is referring to here. He's saying there are some that say that even for zimun, you have to come back inside. Mir is not saying that. Mir is saying, for him, it's good for zimun, it's good for benching, good for everything. Not to come back in. Okay? Stam and Rashi would agree with this, agree with that as well. Rashi doesn't make a chilek between Zimun and benching. So what's his Lashon? His Lashon is Yifne lehem v'mokom amadam v'day lehem v'kach. That's enough. He doesn't say, oh, it's enough, but he has to come back into bench. It sounds like it's good for everything. Alright, keep going. Now the Miri gets to the next issue.
Okay, the lo hakalu bikach ela lomar shaf alpi she yatsa l'shuk v'hasiyach l'taitu.
Right, and then point to the Ra'ah and others that had that opinion that you had to come back inside. What's the chiddush of the Gemara? The chiddush of the Gemara is that even though you stepped outside of the dining room, even though you stepped outside of the house where you had the meal and you went outside, physically outside, and maybe on some level there's a Hesach Hadas that we assume. Nonetheless, keep going.
Ho'il velo nitzrachek.
Since he didn't go so far, lo nitzrachek.
Ela me'at ad she'im ikra'u hu shamea v'yechol.
Good. Since he only went so far that they could still call out to him.
Right.
That's not called such a long distance away that we say he's broken up from the Zim. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead.
Aval im nitrachak.
Nitrachay.
Nitrachay. Beitar mizeh. Beyeter mizeh.
And as if you went more than this, Yoter. If you went Yoter mizeh. If you went further than this, further than the earshot distance. Not good. The Zeman's gone. Right? Okay? Now Lam Shikh. Go ahead.
The Eid Shitat Sugya Muchkat Chen.
And he says, you know what? That's a nice opinion, but it doesn't seem to be muchach from the sugya. What does muchach mean? It's not apparent that way. It's not apparent from the simple interpretation of the Gemara that that's what it means. Right?
V'chein yish mi shemafarish ein sarich v'chazar v'nkoma v'lo v'ano mimakom shehu baruch hu shachana.
Oh, some say he doesn't have to come back and doesn't have to answer.
Shechal ham Hashem zamnin alav im ya'ane ya'ane v'im lo ya'ane anu ein lanu ela shekorin lo.
What does that mean? So what does that mean? So some say you call out to him, he doesn't have to leave, and he doesn't even have to what? What is la'ano? What is ya'ane if ya'ane? What? He doesn't have to answer. He doesn't have to say baruch shecha mishlo. As long as you know that he's listening, you can keep going forward. If he answers, great. If he doesn't answer,
because like his kocho, so whatever it is still like floating around there.
So well, he doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean like in a heebie-jeebie way about koch. I think just when he said koch, he meant that the mechanism of zimun, as long as you call out them, and now he's focused, that's enough to include him in this group. He didn't mean some kind of metaphysical.
But being focused would require you to answer.
No, he's saying you don't have to answer with the words Baruch Shachan Mishloach. Read a little bit further. And he's going to explain.
Okay.
What is it that we need? He says, "Im yana yana." I don't have it in front of me. I'm just going from memory.
You want to repeat it?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Oh, okay. Right. We'll do that then.
Thank you.
Im yana yana.
If he answers, great.
Im lo yana.
If he's not going to answer, he won't answer.
Anu ein lanu.
Anu ein lanu ela what?
Shikorin lo.
Right. All we need to do is we call out to him and. And give him zamin. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says korin lo, umazamin lo. The Gemara never says you have to answer. The Gemara says you call out to him and he answers. And you make the zimun.
Right.
Oh, but Abai says, well, that's only kari leva anile. So look, he has to interpret that now. He has to explain what that means.
Umasha amru de kari le ani.
Right. Yeah. You see why he has to explain that? You see why he's saying that?
La what?
The Gemara. The Gemara uses the term that you call out to him and he answers. The Meir is saying he doesn't have to answer.
Right.
So how is he going to explain it by it? He has to explain what that means, what that phraseology means. So that which the Gemara says, Kari Leva Ani, what does it mean, according to the Meir? Just keep reading. I'm not asking you to guess. Just the next few words, he'll say, what do you mean?
Sheyo Dianu, Diahu.
Good. Sheyo Diuhu. What does Sheyo Diuhu mean?
Then let him know.
You have to inform him. Make him known. Make him aware. Make him knowledgeable about what? That he'll give, be no same lev. What does that mean? Well, pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention. Sim lev. Pay attention. Right? You've heard that expression? Sim lev?
Yeah.
Pay attention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sim lev.
Mm-hmm.
Kayana lanu she kavid hu no tin lev al kach.
And he just has to let them know that he's paying attention.
Right,
he just has to let them know that he's paying attention. And once they know he's paying attention, all right, let it rip. They could bench. That's his iman. Okay? Isaac, you with me?
Yeah.
All right, you want to finish out this last one?
Fechein katvuha geduli hamafershin. Shahari haga atzmat shehu.
Now, here's his proof. Here's his proof. We discussed this yesterday. What's his proof that this works? And I'll show you that there's another case where even without leaving the premises, you can make a Zimun and the guy doesn't answer, and yet it's an effective Zimun. Where is that?
By an Amaretz.
Case of Amaretz. Now Amaretz doesn't mean that there's something terribly wrong with him. He's not mentally incapacitated. He's just not so knowledgeable. He doesn't know how to answer, let's say. He knows that they're benching, you gotta listen, he knows what benching is. Doesn't know how to respond. He's not sure what the response is. Okay? He's not a Rasha. There's nothing sinister going on here. He just
is that what an Amaretz is?
An Amaretz is someone who's uneducated.
Oh, I thought it was like, I think, no.
No, that's a different term.
Right.
He's not necessarily a bad guy. He's right. Just unlearned. Right? Amaretz, he's the man of the land.
What are the plain folk?
Yeah. commoners.
So the, just not he. Wait, he was Jewish.
He's Jewish. He not keeps. Religious. He keeps Torah. No, Amarites could be.
Oh, he just does. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, I didn't.
It's not the same as that Dakota.
You got a ways to go. Okay, Weiter. So you have this fellow. He doesn't know how to formulate the response. You have two other people that ate with him. What happens? Keep going.
Right. Okay. So the Eino Yodei LeAnot VaDai Mizamanin Alav Hacha Nami Lo Shana. Mikol Makom.
What does that mean?
He doesn't know how to answer, and they're doing the benching, the Mizima, and here also. Lo Shana.
Right, he's not answering. So why should this notion be any different? That's a good Zimun. It works. If that works over there, it should be no different over here. It should work here as well. That's the Miri's proof, so to speak. Right? Right? Keep going. Is there a little bit more there? It would be helpful probably if you kept your finger on the place that way when you stopped reading.
Right, okay. Miko Makam Lako Ham Pirushin. Ain Mikalin Mikilin Ella the Gimel. Right. Gimel Shain Mizaman Mizik Biziman Shalahem Hazakharat Hashem.
When it comes to these cases, he says the only place you can be Mako is in a Ziman of 3 or up to 10. But once you're in the realm of 10, where you masker Shem Shemayim, you have a higher standard.
Right.
Keep going.
Okay. Ein mikilin b'kach ho'il v'yish sham ha'zachar ha'sham.
Good. Ha'zachar ha'shem.
Ha'shem. Ela.
You mentioned shem ha'sham.
Yechazor l'mkoma.
That in that case, no. He has to be present. Everyone agrees that the tenth man has to be present and accounted for when you're talking about shem ha'shamayim. All right.
Okay. Va'afal pi shela inyan. Shall katan.
Yeah, okay, so now he's getting into a slightly different issue. Let me have 1 second. He's saying, even though elsewhere in halacha you find sometimes, yeah, even though you find someplace else in halacha, shall inyan sneef and shall katan, the eved, mishal achal dagan, Mark talked about earlier, mikilim be yud, yosem be gimel. There are places where you are makel, so to speak, more. In the realm of 10, then you're on the realm of 3. Bezu mikol makom tzarech shikulam l'sham midirchsev b'makelos baruch elokim. Yesh misham rashaf b'gimel dafka b'sheroen zedzeh. Even in the case of 3, maybe some say that you have to see one another. Avon ein roen zedzeh ein mitzdarfen. Some say no, you don't have to see one another. Hoel u mechavurasam haya, since they all came from the same group, you don't have to see one another. Ein hadavar dom l'shtei chaburos. And that's a slightly different issue, which will take us a little bit too far afield from our basic question over here. So how can we explain this machlokas? We sort of left off with this yesterday. How would you explain this machlokas? Why, on the one hand, would you say that you do have to answer? And why would you say not answering is sufficient? Which one is more reasonable? Which one is more intuitive? If you didn't see either of these shittos, and you just read the Gemara, which one would you think was more obvious? Do you have to answer or you don't have to answer?
Do you have to answer?
Do you have to answer. Why would you say that? Two reasons why you'd say that. I'll take either one.
Why do you have to answer?
Yeah, why would you say that one's more
that'd be
intuitive?
That's more... It's more part of the Zimun.
Yeah,
more like you're participating in the.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about Zimun, and typically the way Zimun works is you call out and everyone else responds.
Right.
You assume this case should be no different. Why all of a sudden, just because the guy went on to the shuk, you're telling me now he doesn't have to answer? And the second reason is because the Gemara makes it sound like that. The Karlev Ani, that's the simple pshat. So Miri comes along and says, no, don't read the Karlev Ani that way. Read it like this: that he has to be close enough that he could, and as long as he could, that means. He's part of Zeman, and therefore he's part of Zeman, but he doesn't have to answer. If he wants to, he can. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. As long as he signals to you that he's paying attention. All right? So So the Miri is the bigger Kiddush. You want to start with Rashi, you want to start with the Miri. How do you want to start? Can we explain the Miri? Or how about Rashi? Rashi would agree in the case of the Amoretz that you don't have to answer, right? That's a given. Case Amoretz, two guys are benching, the third guy's Amoretz, he doesn't answer, that's okay.
Right, why does the Miri
so think why is that
it's okay for the regular guy?
Maybe it works for the Amoretz, right?
But why? Why should we lower the bar for the Amoretz? Is that what's different? Just because of the Amoretz?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say it was three regular people and one guy didn't answer. Would the Miri say that's a good Zimur?
Right.
According to this, you have to say yes, right? So I'm saying, according to Rashi has to acknowledge that case. You have two guys benching, or three guys benching, the Amoretz doesn't know how to respond, they call out, one guy calls out, or however it's going to work out. One says, Rabbi Sain Reif, only one guy is answering, the Amoretz is not able to respond, it's a good Zimun.
How does it work with, like, Minyanim? Like, you need 10 people to answer, right?
Minyan for davening would be different, yeah, but you do need 10 people answering, that's right.
So, it's not like...
Well, we're talking about Zimun. Here, Zimun could be functioning differently. Right now, we know Zimun, you... Different, yes.
It should be that you need three people, at least three people to answer for Zimun.
Well, again, understand that at this point in time, we're assuming that ultimately only one person is going to bench. It's going to be a Mavarik.
Right. And that's the Mavarik,
the Mavarich is benching for everyone.
Yeah, it's Tzibur. He's down.
The Tzibur is on behalf of the Tzibur. The Tzibur has to respond so that there's a minion responding. That's how they show that they're part of the Tzibur. That's how they show this is their Tzibur. But here, they're listening to the benching, apparently, is sufficient. They might be appropriate to say Amen at each bracha, but the call to arms, the Zimun, doesn't necessarily require that everyone... Bond, right? Even if you want to say that the Zimun is somehow fused with the benching, the Zimun is really an introduction to the benching. You say, okay, we're going to bench now. We're signing right.
Oh, wait, that's what they're talking about when they say Zimun? Just that first part?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has to listen to them.
But I'm saying, like, if he's answering at main, he has to answer at main.
Well, we don't know if that's necessary, but he definitely has to be listening to the benching. He has to be listening to the benching. And that's what the Miri says. He doesn't have to answer Baruch Shacham Shalom, but he has to listen. Yeah, otherwise, there's no Zimun, of course. There's no group benching if you don't have the members of the group somehow tapped into the benching. And I think maybe that's part of the issue over here. So according to Rashi, how are you part of the group? There's group benching. So how are you part of the group?
Banter.
Either by answering when you're outside.
Right.
Or the more obvious case is when you're physically there. When you're physically inside, right? When you're physically inside, you're part of the group. If you're part of the group, the benching is being offered for the group. And if you're listening, so the benching is attributable to you as well. You're part of the group, right? But once you go outside, you're not physically part of the group. You have to do something to be drawn back into the group. What? Answer from outside. What about the Miri? Why does the Miri say you don't have to answer? Right? Miri is the bigger Kiddush. The Miri is the bigger Kiddush. So how would you explain that? All they have to do is pay attention. According to Miri, what makes you part of the group? What makes you part of this group? See, you need to be bound to the other individuals at the time of benching to be able to effectuate this group benching. So according to Rashi, the way you are bound together is either by saying, okay, I'm down with the benching, Baruch Shalom Shalom, count me in.
Right.
Or by physically sitting there. And the Miri says, well, it's not necessarily true. You could be outside, as long as you're paying attention, that's good enough. to be a participant in the benching. Why? Because you're already bound together. In other words, for the Meiri, there has to be something that's already keeping you together, that makes you part of the group. I mean, everyone agrees that you have to listen to the benching. That's not a chiddush. That's not the Meiri's chiddush, that you have to listen. Everyone says you have to listen. It's that the Meiri lowers the bar for what it's going to take to be able to do the benching on your behalf. Apparently, also because you ate together, and I think we saw this at the beginning, right? When we went through that discussion of what does it mean, Shlosha Shachu Ka'achas, at what point did they do something to make them part of a group? Did they just have intent to eat together? Remember that? They didn't intend to sit down and eat together. They didn't intend to wash. They washed together. They didn't intend to join as a group. For the Meiri, once they ate together, that's it. They're a group now. Just because the guy's outside doesn't make him less of a group. See, for Rashi, it seems like once he ventures away from the group, well, now it's a chiddush that you have this mechanism that you could just call out to him and include him. But he's got to answer. He's got to answer to show he's part of the group, because geographically he's veered from the group. Right? And the attachment between him and the guys inside is a little bit weak. So he has to answer. It's like, hey, you know, I'm with you guys. But for the Meiri, apparently when you go outside, you're not any less part of the group than you were before. We all ate together, that's it, we're a group. So now, as long as you listen, you can participate in the benching of the group, because you're still part of the group. Okay, you can't go too far. And then you're not part of the group, then there's nothing holding the group together. The group falls apart. But as long as everyone's close enough to Karulei Va'oni, you didn't go so far, you're still part of the group. Oh, you're still part of the group that ate together? That's it. Just listen. I mean, it's not illogical. Just in the context of everything that we know about benching and Zima, it's a little bit surprising. Okay, what about 10? What do you say about 10?
High status.
Yeah. What's the status?
And if they're 10 and one leaves?
Yeah, why can't you call out a guy in the street if it's 10? You say, no, it doesn't work like that. He has to be right here.
He has to be eating with them.
Well, then they finish eating, and one guy goes out. Oh, he goes out? No, you can't call him out. You can't call out to him while he's outside. Even Rashi would say the 10th guy's got to be here. See, there were all holds that when there's 10, if he went out, he can never come back. Even if he didn't go too far, he just can't come back for 10. Rashi said, what's the chiddush according to Rashi? That in the case of 10, he can't be out the window, he's got to be here. So what's special about 10? Yeah, you're saying Shem Hashem. Okay, so what happens? Why can you say Elohim? Why say Baruch Elohim? Why can you say Elohim?
What can you?
Typically.
With 10?
Yeah.
Something to do with minion, no?
Yeah, there's certain status to the group. We say on some level, whatever this means, that the Shekhinah is present when you say when you have a minion, right? So now there's 10. But where are the 10? Where are they? Right, you have 9 guys in here, 1 guy in the street. Right. It's not,
so
ten.
It's, like, it's
not 10 over here.
Anymore. It's kind of like a different, it's like a Zibor. It's like...
It's Zimon. There's right, an aspect of Zimon here, but now you're getting into also Eda or Minyan. There's issues of right. Minyan over here. So you want to say Shem Hashem? Well, you can only say Shem Hashem when you have the Tzibor, when you have the Minyan, when you have the Eda. So 9 plus a guy outside, that's not the way you count together a Minyan.
Right, like, would you be able to do that with a Minyan, regular Minyan,
right,
with a guy outside?
I don't
you have 9 inside,
right,
one guy's outside.
Right.
If not.
Well, how about now, according to the Ra'ah? How would you explain according to the Ra'ah? You have 9 guys inside, 1 guy went out, now he comes back in. Why can't you count them now? Say, okay, we're all together.
Right, why can't you?
So how would you explain that? How would you count for that?
Heels, you can't. If he came back.
Right. So I think that would go back to the discussion that we had even regarding 3 and 4. Right? If you hold that a minion is 10, so as soon as one guy goes out, right, there's not 10 yet. It's not 10, so he's not coming. He's not coming back to 10. No, now they're making a new minion. That's once there's 9, there's no minion anymore.
so it's a new.
There's a higher standard apparently for 10, because what does the Ra'ah say? It says in the case of 10, even if you went out close, right? Isn't even if you just stepped outside? In the case of 3, if you go too far, you can't come back. I think in the case of 10, it says even if you went out at all, you can't come back, right? Pirish hachigar sinah b'miksas halachos. V'nerli da hachigar sinah ad da osis. Aval b'gmar lo gar sinah l'kla ela hachi. Aval asara d'ika shem shalayim lo. V'hachi pirusha. Lo amru de lo paka zimun minei kol hecha da l'irche kule hai t'chikar le'oni v'chiha da osi v'yasi v'kabayu m'zamnin ba'dayu lo amru le lahai dina ela b'shlosh de l'ika shem shalayim. Aval basara d'ika shem shalayim v'tzirufa shem shalayim milsa rabba. That's a big deal. The Ra is saying that you lose that status. Once a guy goes out, even though he didn't go too far, we don't have a looser standard. When we're talking about 3, so we could extend the boundaries of the quote unquote makom for the purpose of benching Bezimun, we could say, well, as long as you didn't go out too far. But for the purpose of saying Shem Hashem, for the purpose of constantly, you know, well, once you ventured away, that's it. You broke up the Shem Minyan, you broke up the Shem Tzibur, you broke up the Shem Asara, and therefore, once you come back, it doesn't matter. You don't have the right anymore to be Mazke Shem Shemai. Okay. Next. Like the Miri. Yeah, from the Rambam, it's also mashma that you don't have to answer, because he doesn't mention this whole idea of karlev ani. He says you listen, so you know what's being said, and you can pay attention.
So what makes you part of the zimun is sitting down eating together with the people.
Well, now you have a chiyuv to be mezamin. Right? You had a group eating, shoshal chukachas, chayav mezamin. Now you're part of the group. That's right. Once you're part of the group, when it comes time to bench, you can bench. You have to listen. That's
so
all.
If you don't have to answer.
If
I sat at the other side of the table, not eating with you guys, I would not be chayev to make a zimun with you guys. If you're two.
No, that's a separate question. Now,
that
comes into a question. What's called a group? What's called eating together?
Okay.
Right?
But the Rambam is basically holding like the way the Miri holds, which is like that the eating together is
the group. That's right. And then it comes down to the bench. Even if you didn't answer, as long as you listened, it's still part of the zimun. You don't have to necessarily answer. Obviously, it has to be close enough, right? It has to be close enough that he could answer if they called out to him, and he has to pay attention.
But he doesn't have to be there. He could be in the side of the shuk.
Could be in the shuk, but how far? What's that?
Right, how far?
But right, but there has to be such a case that you can call out to him, and he could answer. Meaning, now he called and say, we're about to bench, and he says, okay, I'm listening, go ahead. Right? I mean, the tzius obviously would be such that couldn't have a lot of people in the middle, noisy crowd separating the bencher and the listener. Well, that's not practical. That's just a practical matter. It seems like the Rambam holds like this, like the sheet of the Miri. Alright, the next big issue in the Gemara really is, we'll just introduce it. I'm not going to really start it today. But the next big issue in the Gemara, if you take a look back in your Gemaras, remember. The Gemara says if you have two people that sat together and ate, not three, so it's not a zimun per se. You have two people that ate together. Go ahead.
Right. When
is it? When is it that they have to separate? So when they're both able to do it on their own, that's when it's appropriate to do it individually. But aval echad sofer echad bor, but one of them is amoretz. Bor is like an amoretz.
Bor.
Bor. Yeah. Then, So Sofa Mevarech Bor Yotze. So now the question is over here, a few questions. What type of boar are we talking about? And what happened in this case?
Someone writing pressure.
Well,
is that what there was called before? The
let's say he doesn't understand. See, there are different degrees. Maybe the guy just doesn't know how to formulate the response. He doesn't know how to say the bracha. He doesn't know how to say Baruch Shachal, no. But once you say it, he knows what you're saying. He understands it. He doesn't know the words to say on his own. But when you say it, he knows what you're saying. He knows what you mean. Is there a difference between that fellow and the one who doesn't even understand what you're saying? Let's say you make the bracha. I have no idea what you're saying. I know that you're supposed to say this, but I have no idea what it means. It's meaningless to me. It's like Chinese. Am I yotze in that case? Do you say such a boor is yotze?
Well, he just says yeah. The guy reads it.
The Gemara seems to say that the boor is yotze. Now, not so passionate. Let's take just a quick look. We'll just start off with the Tosos, and then tomorrow you can review the Tosos, and you can take a look at some of the other Rishonim. Take a look at Tosos Shiny Hasam, the big Tosos. Okay, you see where it says Tzarech Iyun? It's almost the middle of Tosos. Tzarech Iyun. Across from the Chaf Aleph and the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. First word on the line is V'noshim.
Yep.
Okay, V'noshim. Tzarech Iyun. Im Yotzos B'Birkas HaZimun Shel Anoshim. Can they be Yotze with the Zimun said by men? Me'achar She'ein Mivina, since they don't understand. Some want to say they can be yotzos. Come on, sofer mevarech or bor yotze. From our Gemara says that a sofer makes the blessing and the bor is yotze. Mikan mashma shaf anoshim yotzos beberkas hamozim shalanu. Mihu yesh ledchos osa raya. But you can knock off that raya and say the shiny bor shemavin b'loshon hakodesh. Maybe a bor that we mean is the bor that understands loshon hakodesh, but just not savvy enough to be able to express it himself. But he knows what you're saying when you say it. V'yodeh k'tzas, Maika Omar. He knows what you're saying. Aval en yodeh levorich. Tosfos makes that distinction. Right? Does anyone see that?
So he can read, he just can't translate.
No, he can't read. He could understand a little bit. When you read it, when you say it out loud, he knows what you mean. But maybe he can't say it on his
mute.
Own. He can't read it. No, not mute. Just doesn't know how. I mean, it's hard for you to relate to, I guess, but take a guy who grew up not religious. You know, now he's a little bit familiar with what's going on, and now he knows that when you say this blessing, he has to listen, he has to answer Amen, and eventually he even understands what you're saying. You know, he's read the translation, but now he says, okay, now you say it. He's not going to say it. You have to give him a transliterated sitter. You have to give him something transliterated. You can't formulate the words. He doesn't know how to say Lashon HaKodesh. Takes a while.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
So he can't formulate the words on his own, but when you say it, he has a good idea of what you mean. Maven b'miksas. Yodeh b'miksas, what you mean. There's a machlokas over here, right? Machlokas among the Rishonim. Which type of boar can be yotze? So I believe that tomorrow we'll get a little bit into that question of which type of boar can be yotze, to what extent, and how that mechanism functions. Yeah. Question? No? Okay. We'll stop here.